Just one point about the gospel. Understanding of the Lord's majesty and authority. I do will it. Be clean. No doubt. No waiting for anything. I will it. Be clean. That's Jesus. He's the Son of God. In the reading from the first letter, we've been doing the first letter, as you know, every day. We have the penultimate section. Tomorrow, there'll be the last section of this letter. Who indeed is the victor over the world? Well, why don't you stop and ask that question? Who overcomes the world? Well, what's the world? And why does it have to be overcome? What are we talking about here? Well, I've told you before that, you know, the world in John is this whole complex of forces that at its very depth is the world of rejection and refusal. It's Satan. And the world is run by Satan or by the Holy Spirit, depending on how people yield. The world is not neutral. Otherwise, he wouldn't be talking about overcoming the world, being a victor. I mean, that's the world. The only other option is to be baptized into Christ. That's it. Well, how do we overcome the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now that means more than just subscribing to a formula. Yes, I'll sign that, Jesus. It means that in the interior of your being consents to that, fights for that, against your own rebellion. And so that you yield to this reality, and it is the basis of your life. Then you have overcome the world. The world will not like it. That's why we have so many martyrs. But you have overcome the world. This is no joke. Nobody thought it was. But I mean, for John, cosmos, world, is a world. It's a whole concatenation of forces that are ultimately opposed to God. And if you're not smart, you don't see it going on. Take an innocent little thing like as far as it's innocent. Well, we'll have our soccer games on Sunday morning. Now, I don't think the people in the soccer league spent all night figuring, how can we resist God? You know, I really don't. But somebody was moving them, and they didn't know it. And that would happen to any one of us unless we stay alert to God and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Really believe it. Really act it out. We'll get tricked all the time. That's why he tells us, who indeed is the victor, this translation, over the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's a very deeply felt, experienced, held, fought for conviction. Jesus is the living, eternal, incarnate Son of God. And that's the fact. And if we cling to that fact, no matter what, because there's plenty of days we'd like to forget that ourselves, that's how we overcome the world. Did it ever strike you, like, what do I want to overcome the world for? You know? Because if you don't, the world will overcome you. It's that simple. And that's why, you know, that's why we have the Word of God to sustain us day and night. That's why the Lord teaches us, pray always. Stay alert. How many times in the Gospel does our Lord tell us, don't get your heart heavy with too much alcohol, too much food, too much, because what will happen is you will succumb. You've got to stay awake. St. Peter tells us, your enemy, be alert. Your enemy prowls around like a raging lion, looking for him whom he can devour. So John is telling us here, if you want to overcome that world, then cling to your faith and make it logical. If I cling to the faith that Jesus is the Son of God, then I better do what he tells me. I better listen. And then there's peace. A peace that the world can't give. Now, who is this one? This is a very dense passage. We've only gotten through the first two lines. But tune in next year when we have it again, and we'll go through some more of the rest. This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. Now, what can that possibly mean? Hard to figure out. We know about a century later, there was a fellow by the name of Cerinthus who articulated, people had all, just like today, all kinds of wild ideas and nutty ideas about who Jesus is, right? I mean, you got to contend with him because he's God. And he's part of your psyche, whether you like it or not. So you got to do something. So the Gnostics, who love knowledge, that's what gnosis means in Greek, they had this idea that Jesus was a real nice guy, you know, and devout enough. At his baptism, the Logos came and dwelt in him. So all that wisdom that he told us, that's all from the Logos. But when the cross came, the Logos left. Now that's very Gnostic. But you'll find it today, the Jesus Seminar, same thing. You know, read the Jesus Seminar. It's all about Jesus' teachings. But we are not saved by the teachings of Jesus. We are saved by his act of love on the cross. And that's how you can tell, you know, the players without a program. I remember somebody called me up once. They just read the Gospel of Thomas, which is one of these Gnostic documents. Quite lovely, poetic, you know, and embodies some sayings of Jesus that were in the tradition, and some got in the Gospels and some didn't. So, yeah, it can be pretty valuable to look at. But this person was all excited about this thing, you know. I said, tell me, where does it talk about the passion and resurrection? Silence. She said, oh, isn't it great that we have friends? Click, that's all. She never looked at it again. You see, the life comes from love, an act of love in dying. That's where it comes from. So, you see, John is saying he didn't come by water alone, baptism. He came by water and blood. And the Spirit is the one who bears witness. And in that text, we have the two acts of the Blessed Trinity in bringing about salvation. Jesus came. Became one of us, was here, this whole incarnate history. He came, he loved, he taught, he preached, he healed, he died, he rose, he came. And the Spirit bears witness. The reason why we believe, the reason why we're here in this chapel, the reason why this can come alive for us, is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit makes that all come alive. And without the Spirit, it's an interesting thing, but it's not alive. The Spirit is the one who bears witness. Huh? And the Spirit is truth. The manifestation of the Father. So there are three who testify. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are of one accord. They all agree on what? The divinity of Jesus Christ. And so, if we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. Now, the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But he testifies to this reality of his Son through the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your conscience all day long. This is John. You know, he looks like he's sort of a pious whatever. They paint him with long hair. I don't know why. This is the strongest mind that ever lived. That's why they call him John the Theologian, John the Divine. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. That's wonderful. You're walking down the street in Washington and somebody says, "Brother, are you saved?" You can say, "Well, I'm justified. I'm not saved till I get to heaven. But I know what you're talking about, brother." And yes, I am. I know Jesus. Stay out here, brother. Keep preaching. We need you. Have to have the testimony. Who does not? God has testified. This is my beloved Son. I say, no, he's not. I've made God a liar, right? That's what he says. Who does not believe God has made him a liar. By not believing the testimony God has given about his Son at the baptism, at every Eucharist, in your heart, God has given testimony. And what is his testimony? God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, and you can know it. You can know it. That's the wonder. Somebody once said to this very holy monk, Mark the Hermit, it's about the 3rd or 4th century, "Well, how do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you?" And he said, "Well, how does a woman know she's pregnant? You feel the life within you." That's how we know.